Welcome to the backstory on the Veterans Community Project, the VCP Village in Longmont. My name is Tim Waters, and as a volunteer for Longmont Public Media, I have the good fortune of interviewing experts, activists, elected officials, community leaders on topics of interest and kind of varied implications for the community of Longmont. And today, I have the good fortune of interviewing three stars in a project that is making great strides in Longmont. The very first backstory, which was then just an audio podcast, featured the Veterans Community Project and the Veterans Village that was a vision to occur in Longmont. Two of the participants in that first podcast were Mark Solomon and Kevin Mulshine. Two of the faces you see on the screen right now, and we're going to do more formal introductions in a minute. But 18 months ago or so, February of 2018, was the first backstory. Today, we are recording this backstory on the occasion of the groundbreaking for the Veterans Community Village in Longmont. And there are a lot of miles that have been covered, a lot of hurdles that have been left since then, and it's time to tell the next chapter or the next phase of that backstory for Longmont. So gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me in this, for this recording of this episode of the backstory. More importantly, thank you for the extraordinary commitment to and contributions to veterans, where this whole project started in Kansas City. And Mark, I'm going to ask you to, you know, tell some of that background. And then more importantly, moving forward, where we're headed in terms of housing veterans, homeless veterans in Longmont. So, welcome. On the screen for viewers, we have Mark Solomon, who is a lieutenant commander in the Coast Guard. He's in
United States Navy Reserve.
Navy Reserve. And yeah, people ought to know, Mark, as we're recording this, you're 48 hours away from being redeployed.
Yes,
and
correct.
So God bless you.
Leaving for a year.
Yeah, so you're going to head off with, I know, with a whole bunch of people thinking about you. You won't be in the you won't be in town, but you'll be in the hearts and minds of a whole lot of Longmonters. Kevin Mulshine. Kevin is now a Longmont resident. 18 months ago, I think he was a NIWAT resident. So he got smarter and moved into Longmont.
Yeah.
So welcome to Longmont, Kevin.
Thank you.
And Kevin has played a significant role in this. Kevin is a principal in HMS Development Corporation, and he'll be able to talk more about that however deep he wants to go into HMS. But this project would not be in Longmont without Kevin Mulshine. And Mark, I'm going to give you and Kevin a chance to tell that story. And Paul Melroy. Paul is the newest face to this team as the executive director of the Veterans Community Village Project in Longmont. Mark, correct me. What's the right title? Is that right?
No, you're fine. It's VCP Village, Veterans VCP Community Project Village, or VCP Village.
There you go. All right.
Yep.
And Paul has very specific roles and responsibilities for what's going to happen in Longmont and more broadly in Colorado. So welcome to all three of you. I'm going to give you a chance to embellish those backgrounds right now. Mark, what else should we know about you?
I think I'm a nice guy. Fun to be around, you know, things like that.
People who know you.
I moved to Longmont just over a year ago with my family to get Veterans Community Project started. This did start, as you mentioned. I remember the room we were in is a small room, all audio at the time, right, for our podcast.
Big headphones on and big microphones in front of us.
Yep, absolutely. How times have changed, right? And so, about 5 years ago on a napkin, a group of combat veterans got together, myself included, and we sketched out an idea for how we're going to help homeless veterans. The idea was really to create an organization that would not say no to a vet. So if a vet came in and said, I need whatever, the answer was going to be yes. Let's go figure out how to make that happen. So each one of us who started this, all combat vets, as I mentioned. I'm an Iraq war vet, getting ready to deploy again, as you mentioned. And at some point, every single person who ever served in the military, Paul also served in the military, we all took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. and we were willing to defend the Constitution up to and including with our lives. That is just part of the oath. So whether you served for 5 minutes or 35 years, whether your discharge status was awesome or not so awesome, whatever it happened to be, the point was when you took that oath, you were willing to give up your life for your country. And we determined that that was good enough for us to make sure that you got support and whatever it is you needed when you got home or got out of military service. And just make things happen for people. So that was kind of the idea 5 years ago on a napkin. And we started in Kansas City. We opened an outreach center where veterans could get that service, just walk in and say, hey, I need a, and then we just go to work. And really through the kindness of the community. So I'll let Paul talk about the name and kind of where it comes from, but it's really the kindness of the community. So we don't take any federal dollars. It's all privately funded through individuals or corporations, grants, things like that. And we have been able to basically make an impact in Kansas City. And as word spread about what we were doing, other cities said, hey, let's go do that. That was phase one of our impact in Kansas City, was this walk-in center, basically. Phase two were tiny houses. So we started building a village, a VCP village in Kansas City. It's now complete about 2 years after we started. It was 49 tiny houses and a 5,000 square foot community center. The community center is for the veterans that live in the village. They have a teaching kitchen and meeting rooms and things like that. So the houses themselves are fully code compliant homes. They meet all Kansas City building codes for new construction, and they're transitional in nature for our vets. So our vets get to come in, stay for free, up to typically about 2 years or less. There's no specific requirement there, but that's kind of our goal for getting veterans rehoused at some point in a more permanent solution. And they live rent-free, and basically we hold them accountable. There's a lot of accountability that comes with that being in our program. Yet at the end of it, they basically have the opportunity to then transition to something more permanent for them that doesn't include living on the streets. And word caught on quickly. We joke a little bit about it. Our tiny houses are the tiniest part of what we do. It's really our wraparound services for our veterans. And I'll let Kevin get into the details of how we came to Longmont, but sort of long story short, too late, I know. We just broke ground today on our second ever VCP village. It'll be here in Longmont. We'll have 26 tiny houses in a 3,000 square foot community, and we're still on the search for that outreach center. It'll be somewhere in Longmont where, again, veterans can just walk in and get help whenever they need it. So our hope with the groundbreaking today is by next fall, we should be housing veterans here in Longmont.
Mark, one of the benefits of doing the backstory is these aren't sound bites. It is storytelling, and we ought not to leave out important parts of the story. So
sure, don't feel like you're I didn't want Kevin to fall asleep, so that's why I was trying to make sure I stayed excited about it.
Could you just drill down a little bit further? Because I've heard you tell the story or stories about the project's approach, both to veterans and the concept of accountability.
Yeah.
We have another entity in town that uses the word loving accountability, right, in terms of how they approach this. But I know there's a loving but a rigorous and a approach to accountability and high expectations. And I think that's an important part of the story, that what you do with people to reconnect them to what they're most proud of and when they were most successful.
There is a shared language and a shared experience that all people who've been in the military have. It doesn't matter if you were in the Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force, Marine Corps, now Space Force. There is a common language that we all speak, and that is military. Every branch has their nuance, right? But generally speaking, we have the same. I went to a boot camp. It was going to be different than what Paul went through or somebody in the Marine Corps or Air Force, whatever. Yet there was a boot camp. And so, again, there's a shared experience. What we found is, one, our program has always been designed around that accountability. We want to make sure that our veterans have all the support they need to be successful. And they also have to be willing and able to participate in that success. So we're not taking somebody off the streets and putting them in a house and saying, now you will fix whatever issues you happen to have. They have to raise their hand and say, I'm ready, willing, and able. Now, we're going to still get them off the streets if they're not, ready, willing, and able. It may just mean not part of our program, and that's okay. when they're ready and they're willing and they're able. Now what we do is we basically design a program around each vet. And this is the benefit we have of the flexibility by not taking those federal dollars. I can serve a vet in the way that they need it. So, you know, Councilman Waters, if you have a...
I'm a Longmont public media volunteer with this conversation.
Longmont public media volunteer Waters. If you basically had some kind of issue, let's say it's just money. Let's say it's money issues. You weren't good with your dollars and you had an outstanding rent collection that was due. It's $1,000 or $1,500 and you're just not good with your money. You can't pay it. You're living on the streets and you're just not making enough, or you're making enough. You're bad with your money. You just have not paid that. Every time you go to rent something, they're always looking at your history and they go, nope, sorry, we're not going to rent to you. So you live in your car. Well, what we do is we can say, hey, Tim, let's have you come into our tiny house, we'll get you set up, and now we're going to put some accountability around that money management. We're going to have volunteers who come in and teach you how to manage your money. We're going to make sure you're employed correctly and you have the right dollars. And then the minute you save up $1,500, and we're going to have case managers that keep track of that, we're going to take you and we're going to pay off that old debt. Then we're going to put you back in our tiny house and we're going to let you save some more so you have a nest egg. We have case managers, again, that work with our veterans. They're on an 8-to-1 caseload. Most social service organizations I know are closer to 30 or 40-to-1. And again, it's our private funding model and through donations from the public, basically, at veteranscommunityproject.org. That allows us to be very accountable to our veterans. The second piece, quickly, that we've come across that's been really neat for us is we've realized that we've created barrack style living without the barracks. And so members who join us, military members, prior service, who come into our village, and we have women, men, people who were in combat, people who never saw combat, it doesn't matter, you know, what branch, any of that. One lady was in the Coast Guard for 2 years back in the 70s, right? Doesn't matter. As long as they served at all, then they're good in our program. It doesn't matter if that contributed to their circumstances or not. Our case managers design a program around each vet, figure out what those issues are, and then we partner with other organizations that already are great at what they do to make sure that our vet goes and sees whether it's a civilian person for PTSD help or alcoholism or whatever it happens to be. Maybe they just need some help with budgeting. We can have somebody come in and do that. We do all of those things. We get them all set up, and then we can transition them when they're ready to the next step, whatever that happens to be. They can bring their pets. We don't want them to leave their pets out on the streets. So we have partner with veterinary services. We just really, it's wraparound services. We make sure that veteran is taken care of in whatever way they need. And the veterans in the village also help with that barrack style living by, you know, hey, Tim, you know, I'm Mark, I'm your neighbor. And I know you're supposed to be going to this financial literacy class at 08 and it's 08, you know, 05 and you haven't left the house yet. Knock, knock, knock. Tim, why aren't you going, right? Because I like my tiny house. I'm not going to mess up my experience there, and I'm certainly not going to let my battle buddy or my shipmate mess up their experience either. And so we've had this neat thing happen from a cultural standpoint where the military sort of concept kicks back in with our veterans, and they really look out for each other, and that's helped out a ton. We've had 73% placement since we started veterans running through our program. Again, most organizations right now are in the 30 to maybe 45% range, and we're at 73. So early data, small sample size, we're going to keep doing this for a long time. And I think those numbers aren't going anywhere. I think it's going to continue to be pretty high.
You just described the non-combat or the domestic aspect of leave none of them behind, right?
Yep.
So I don't think I did in the introduction acknowledge that you're a lieutenant commander. And in 48 hours, you will be referred to as, I've got a phone going on the side of a lieutenant commander. But in the next 48 hours, you're a real estate agent for Kellner Williams.
Yeah, correct.
And, so and a year from now,
yep.
A year from now when you return from your deployment, for folks who are thinking about selling their homes, they'll make that note. You'll return to Longmont as a Kellner Williams Real estate. Absolutely.
And I have people in between. So if they don't want to wait a year, we've got people. We'll get you hooked up. But yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm the only founder that originally didn't go full-time into the organization. My goal has always been to sell enough houses to write big six-figure checks to the organization that I started. I can tell you my co-founder brethren are constantly asking me, where's that check? We're working on it. Need to sell a few more houses to make that happen. But yeah, my goal has always been, you know, we have some really awesome people like Paul who've been willing to join our mission. And they do that work day in and day out every day. I get to do the fun stuff. I get to, you know, do interviews and you know, speak in front of cameras and raise money and things like that. That's fun for me. Paul and the team, they really do the hard work of day to day. Let's get stuff built. Let's help veterans. And truthfully, that's their specialty. And that's why we have them on board. And it's just neat to be able to work with such a good mix of talent.
A crew that really understands what it means to have boots on the ground.
Oh yeah.
Cause they've been boots on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're involved in this conversation with Kevin Mulshine. Now, Kevin, some people might look at this and wonder, how did Kevin Mulshine show up in this recording, in this program? But we wouldn't be talking about this program were it not for you. So how did you get connected with Mark and the project in Kansas City? And what role have you played in bringing this project to Longmont?
Sure. Thanks, Tim. Now, back in 2018, if you remember, there was a confluence of actions taken by the city council in Longmont, which was they wanted to tackle affordable housing crisis, therefore putting certain requirements on new developments to satisfy certain requirements. And they also adopted a resolution, which is basically a challenge to end veterans homelessness in Longmont. So we were asked to be, since we've done development in Longmont, we've done certain HMS, yes. And we put some charitable aspects into some of our developments. Recently, we were kind of tagged to find the right land for a veterans facility. But with not in my backyard, NIMBY issues, it's tough to be as generous as people were wanted to donate parcels. It's tough to do. So I believe it was actually the mayor, Mayor Bagley, who originally said, well, why don't you just put it in your development? And in your next development, which is Mountain Brook, basically a 65-acre development with about 460 homes or so. And honestly, at first, we're just trying to prove you can't do it because it's never been done before. There is no new home development in the United States that's incorporated a transitional homeless facility. That's because of the stigma of it. The city's attitude towards that was, well, this is great because we'll be the first. If there's none now, we'll be the first. And honestly, we went around the country, and there's a lot of, Tim, there's a lot of facilities in the country that are communal living, that maybe it's an old apartment complex, or maybe it's an old hotel or something. And honestly, it gets into a lot of things of what would feel like it belongs in a new home community. And my last stop, we were giving up on it, but our last stop was Kansas City, Missouri. We had heard some things, and there was a lot of good press about the Veterans Community Project, so our last stop was in Kansas City. We had a four-hour layover, and as I said, the founders pretty much blew me off the entire time I was there, but I learned to appreciate it because they were helping veterans, and they couldn't get themselves away from helping veterans, so they were helping somebody more important. But Tim, it's just, if for anybody who's going through Kansas City that gets a chance to stop by that campus, there's a positive energy created by a couple of aspects. One is the tiny home concept provides such a dignified response and such a dignified option for housing. And it gives such a great feel to it. But then also the energy that is on the campus, it almost has to be experienced because any particular day, the campus is teeming with volunteers and also veterans who are running from one job to another or going for different things. When Mark was talking about the accountability, when I got to walk around the campus after being blown off by the founders, I talking to some of the veterans, and they have a pretty tight schedule during their day as they're working on whatever issues they need to address. And it had such a positive energy that at that moment, it actually went from where, well, maybe having a facility for homeless veterans in a new development maybe it won't be a stigma. And frankly, maybe it could draw people, because maybe you could have, you know, we're going to have the traditional amenities, the swimming pool and the workout facilities and all that, and they'll be first class. But maybe there's an amenity we can come up with that nobody's done before. You need amenity, compassion, and community service. So I know I'd love to be able to walk down the block and help some young veteran with a resume, or help them with budgeting, as Mark was talking about, or help build the houses. And so when it turned from being something that has a negative stigma to it, it's really the way it's operated at Veterans Community Project, where we saw that as an opportunity to bring it in, make it as our component of our community, and actually make it as value added, as something that would attract buyers. Because I actually think today, I think with all the trouble we've had, and even in 2020, I think people are looking for those community service opportunities. And if they can walk down the block and help a veteran, well, what better amenity could we have? So that's how we got this point.
Well, I'm going to just, as I reflect just for a second on your conversation with the mayor, and I'll say this fondly, since I do a fair amount of work with the mayor, that I've known the mayor to use language like put up or shut up.
Right.
Sounds like that was kind of the challenge for you and HMS. And don't you love it when you have a chance to put up?
Yeah, no, yeah, which no.
Which is what has happened here.
No, no.
Number one. Number two, the other kind of narrative would be, you make reference to 2020. In the year we'll never forget, none of us will ever forget, no matter, you know, our children, you have very young children, no matter how old they live to be, they'll remember, even from their childhoods, the year 2020.
Right.
And in a year when there has been so much to be concerned about, to have a project like this that represents so much hope and reason to be optimistic as you envision the people who are going to be served and how they're going to be served, it's worth taking some time to celebrate it and reflect on it.
Right.
And to get it to where you want it to be, enters Paul Melroy as the executive director of the VCP Village Project Longmont. And I think potentially with other more reach beyond Longmont in the state of Colorado. Paul is a relatively new member of the team, and has a pretty broad and substantial responsibilities. So Paul, welcome to this
Thank
conversation.
You.
I don't know where you're living now, and I don't know if you're gonna live in Longmont.
I'm actually in Lyons. So my wife and I really wanted the Colorado experience.
Well, you're gonna get
it. We're
up
in the mountains.
So tell us about you and tell us about your role and responsibilities now with this project.
So I'm a longtime nonprofit guy, a longtime arts guy. So I worked in the arts for about 25 years and was the executive director or managing director at a number of organizations. So my experience is varied with that little bit of a tilt. I'm also a veteran. Before I ever graduated from college, I had served 6 years in the Navy, had 4 years in the reserves and 2 years active duty. So while I was a peacetime veteran back in the mid 80s, I have a lot of friends who are 10, 12, 15 years older than me that are Vietnam vets. And, you know, have the way that we've handled our returning vets has always bothered me. I just felt like we put these guys in harm's way, and things happen to them during their service that affect them after they get out of the service. And I think you see that with the homeless population, certainly. PTSD in particular is a big factor. But I was always bothered by the sort of the lack of care, and some of it, I don't think it's intentional. I just think we as a country haven't figured out exactly how nuanced the response to all that needs to be, and just how deep that goes. So I was looking for a job. I had parted ways with my last employer in Wichita. I had been running the Tallgrass Film Festival, and I'd seen an ad for this position, and saw it a couple times, and I thought, I'm an arts guy, this is social services, they won't even talk to me. And after I'd seen it a few times, I thought, man, it sounds like a fun job. And I knew a little bit about the organization just because they've gotten some national exposure, and was fascinated with the whole tiny house concept. And so I sent my resume in, and the gentleman that's my boss now immediately contacted me and said, yeah, you're not a good fit. Thanks, but no thanks. And I thought, okay, nothing ventured, nothing gained. No worries. And about 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from him saying, well, a couple of the folks on our search committee think we really ought to talk to you. And the next thing I knew, I was driving up from Wichita to Kansas City and had a great visit. I hung out for a few hours one afternoon and chatted with a number of folks. And not too long after, got another phone call, clearly indicating more serious interest. And I went and spent a better part of a 24 hours up there and really got to talk to folks and got to see the outreach center in action, and got to see, I actually sat in on a debriefing that the caseworkers were doing on the clients they're working with. And I was hooked. I just thought, these guys are doing great things. This is part of the solution. This is definitely a step in the right direction. And just was delighted to be able to come on board. You know, my role is sort of chief cook and bottle washer. There's just all sorts of things that go into, you know, right now my job is getting the village built and establishing an outreach center and getting some infrastructure in place. But you know, what's great about working for nonprofits is that no one day is like the previous day. It's going to be something a little different every day. And I'm literally watching my job sort of transmogrify over time here into different things. So it's a little bit fundraising, and it's good old fashioned people management and planning and logistics and, you know, whatever needs to happen. And it's one of the things that attracted me to VCP was that whatever needs to happen attitude. I appreciate that you suggested visiting Kansas City if you get a chance. It's remarkable, and Kevin touched on this too. When you go visit the village there and go visit the outreach center, it's just, the energy is incredible. There's all these volunteers, and the staff just generally has this attitude that we don't like to hear the word no. We're going to find a way to say yes. And that bleeds into the relationships with our partners. And, you know, I think that gets people to do things that they maybe wouldn't have done or might've been on the fence about, but, you know, having a great attitude and making it really clear what your goals are, I think is one of those, it's a little bit of the magic with VCP. They just don't like the word no. And I love that. We find ways to say yes with our veterans. You've already heard a little bit about the wraparound services. So, you know, every client that we get is going to require a little something different. And so my challenge as a manager is to make sure the resources are in place that if there's something we can do that we have the capacity to do it, and that we have the partnerships with other folks in town, as you heard earlier, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. If somebody's doing a great job delivering meals or transporting people or whatever, you know, we want to hook up with that organization and find the best care that we can for our clients. In terms of looking towards the future, I think one of the big challenges here is Northern Colorado is not Kansas City. There's a number of things that are different about the landscape here. For example, one of the big things in Kansas City that VCP does is give away bus passes and help people with transportation there. Well, here the transportation system is a little disjointed. There's certainly ways to get from point A to point B, but it's not quite as easy here. That's going to be a factor for us here, and it's a continuous topic of conversation about the possibility of really needing to be mobile at times. And my director of veteran services, Sean, right now, that's, you know, he's working out of his house, but he's going to where he's needed. And I think that's going to be part of our landscape going forward. Although I think it's really important that we get some bricks and mortar, a bricks and mortar location where people can walk in I think that's just really important too. The bottom line is we want to serve as many veterans as we can get to, which means doing the fundraising that's needed to have money to help them and to have the staff that you need to help them. But it's there's a lot of magic with VCP, and it's amazing to me how when just a few pieces start to come together, you start to get this critical mass, and all of a sudden, you know, everything's clicking on eight cylinders. It's a really cool thing to see. So that's what I'm looking forward to here, is sort of hitting that point of critical mass when I know that we are just cooking and we're helping a lot of people, and that we have capacity to help even more, and a vision for how to do it. I don't want to profess a vision right now of exactly how it's going to be, because we're still figuring out what, you know, how to leverage what we do best here in Colorado. The other big factor is 2020. We unfortunately think there's going to be more than a few people added to the rolls of the homeless. There's a lot of evictions starting to happen, a lot of foreclosures. Whatever that number is of newly homeless people, about a quarter of them are going to be veterans, you know, if the statistics bear, and they usually do. So I have a sneaking suspicion there's going to be a much greater need over the coming months than there is right now. And we're having conversations with the other organizations around Longmont and Boulder County about how are we going to handle this? What do we think that's going to look like? And what roles can we all play to, you know, find a solution to that? So it's an interesting time, since like the old Chinese curse, right? We're living in interesting times.
While you have the floor, what's your answer to the question to Longmonters who ask, how can I help? What do you need?
Boy, there's all sorts of ways to help. So, you know, obviously we have financial needs, and we're very fortunate to have a great philanthropic base. But, you know, we're expecting to provide about $1 million worth of services a year in Longmont when we're fully up and running. And that takes money. So that's the easy one for some folks. You can just write a check, and it really helps immensely. But we also love our volunteers. When we go to build the village, you know, about 70% of the construction is happening with volunteers. It's similar to the Habitat model. And, you know, we love our volunteers, and we love getting them engaged, because once somebody comes and works on a house, they really feel, some investment, some psychic investment in that. And, they get emotionally attached, and we love that because they become great supporters. We'll also need people to help us out when we open up the outreach center. In Kansas City, they make use of a lot of volunteers in there, and I'm sure we're going to want to, too. When we open up the community center in the village, same thing. We'll be providing a lot of services there. And as you heard a little bit earlier, you know, at the village, we try really hard to go above and beyond with our folks. So, you know, we hook our residents up with veterinary services and dental services and things like that. So we'll be looking, you know, for folks in town to help with things like that, if possible. There's just all sorts of ways to help. You know, you want to come do a little gardening at the village, or, you know, a little landscaping. We love that. It's very easy to sign up on our webpage to be a volunteer, and things are a little slow at the moment, but I think come, you know, early next year, things are going to ramp up real quickly. So we're wanting to gather as many interested volunteers now as possible.
So right now, it would be people willing to help write checks, or not help write, to write checks to help with the economics of it, and then building cadres of volunteers so you can get them ready to step in kind of full speed, full stride when that opportunity presents itself.
Yeah.
I want to circle back something that we probably should have touched more deeply on, just in terms of the scope of the need here. Mark, it's fair to assume, I think, that if every government, level of government and agency that a veteran turned to for assistance, if their disposition was find a way to say yes, there would not be a need for the veterans community project.
Absolutely true, yep.
But that hasn't been the experience. And the net effect, in fact, Paul made reference to, it's not intentional that we've walked away from our veterans. I would like to turn that around and say it should be intentional that we walk to our veterans, or don't lose connection and don't fail them when they return. And that's what you are committed to. What's the scope of the need nationally?
So nationally, on any given night, the numbers look to be approximately 40,000 people who took the same oath I did, the same oath Paul did, are sleeping on the streets every night. I don't know what their circumstances were. I don't know how they got on the streets. All I know is that at some point they raised their right hand, took that same oath, were willing to give up their life for their country. And now 40,000 of them every single night are sleeping on the streets. 10% of them sleep in areas that are just not fit for human habitability. Most of them are men. About 1 in 10 is a woman vet. It's really just kind of a mix of things that get them there. And I think when you look at that number, when people hear that number, what's really cool for me is that I look at that and I go, that's terrible. And it is. And it's just that we've realized that it's not really insurmountable. Could this model, this tiny house model in our walk-in clinics, be the thing that solves that problem? Can we eliminate veteran homelessness? And I think the answer is yes. The reason it's not insurmountable is because we do have a community of people who are willing to step up and say, yeah, I can help with that. I can write a check, or, hey, bring them over to my auto repair place and I'll fix somebody's car for you at a discount or free or whatever it is. Starbucks was out today helping us serve coffee to our donors and people who came for our groundbreaking. There's lots of ways that people can contribute to making sure that we take care of our veterans. And so we connect those people together. So rather than have to call the VA and say, hey, I want to write a resume for a vet, what do I do? Literally just call us and then we can put you in touch with any organization that needs that help, or maybe it's us. So we become the clearinghouse for that. Two things that Paul kind of understated, and it's just because we are, honestly, we're sort of humble people, but as we've looked into the numbers, we see that on any given night around here, we're talking close to 100 veterans that are sleeping on the streets. So any night, just think about it. You're in your house, whatever, you're watching the stars at night, and there's 100 people sleeping on the streets that were willing to give up their life for their country. How do we impact that? One person at a time. We go out, we find those people. And there are people, by the way, that are not with Veterans Community Project who are out there doing street outreach. They're reaching out to homeless people in general. They are doing amazing work. We're going to partner with them and focus on the vet portion of that, because there's some unique things available for veterans, resources and all that. It's just navigating the system. So one quick example I give people is, think of your favorite friend who got married and decided they wanted to change their last name, okay? So then you have documents. You got your social security number and you got your birth certificate, and then you got to go somewhere and you got to see somebody and you got to stand in line and take the little number, and now it's COVID time and it's really hard. Now do that being homeless. You don't have time to go anywhere because you really don't have the resources to get somewhere. You don't have any documentation. You don't have your social. Some people don't even remember their social because they haven't used it in maybe a decade. They certainly don't have their birth certificate. We are the people who will go beat down those doors, figure out, okay, I'm going to go find your birth certificate for you, or I'm going to go get that social security card for you. Then I'll go help you figure out where at the VA or what government organization can help us with the next step and sort of clear the roadblocks. Because with federal dollars comes things like, hey, it's Thursday and it's sunny out and it's 95 degrees. There's an organization at, you know, 3rd and 3rd that will help you. But if it were Monday and sunny out and 95 degrees, then you got to go over here. And yeah. So we just can weed through all of that and make sure that that works. And so having those community partners, you know, basically just being willing to put up with the bureaucracy and figure it out so that the vet comes to us and then we go figure out the answer. To what Paul was saying earlier, for example, in Northern Colorado, he mentioned transportation. It is about an hour and 15 minutes from my house to the Cheyenne VA. So I can go up to a different state and visit the VA. If I wanted to hop on a bus and get to the VA in Aurora, it would take me maybe about 4 hours. Okay. So again, you know, imagine we had a vet not too long ago in Kansas City. He needed some help, and our staff was on the phone for 8 hours on hold with various different organizations. Now imagine again, okay, if you've got time and you got nothing going on, great. You sit in front of your phone and you put it here, or just, you know, wait, it's painful and it's annoying and whatever. If you're homeless, where do you plug your phone in? And oh, by the way, everything's shut down for COVID. So I can't even go into a building and wash my hands if I have a cough, right? So all of these things are becoming more and more complicated. And it is too easy to look and go, somebody else will take care of that. Well, the reality is, yes, somebody's taking care of that. It's just really hard to navigate. So tell you what, you just come to us. we will figure it out. I don't know the answer. That's no problem. We'll go figure it out. And that's the beauty of, I think, where we have carved this niche. There are so many, and you referenced it, Tim, there are so many amazing organizations and people out there who are willing to do this every single day. Vets are unique, and they also, the veteran organizations are sometimes unique depending on funding. And so again, our job is just don't worry about any of that stuff. Come see us, we'll help you out. And Paul has already helped with Sean house veterans. We're doing that now. We won't have houses, tiny houses, for maybe another year. And we're already starting to house people because put some veterans in a room and tell them you can't do something, well, we're kind of hard-headed, as our wives will tell you, and we're just going to go solve problems. So we've already started housing veterans and getting them help and support, and Paul and the team have just stepped up and done that. They're not going to wait for tiny houses. They're just going to go do it.
So to bring this back to home, every once in a while I'll put my city council hat on in these sessions, because the council has been through a series of, actually last summer went through a series of conversations about understanding the breadth and the scope and the depth of our homeless challenge and the needs of our homeless population in Longmont. And it quickly came to the realization that our homeless population isn't some monolithic group. It's a bunch of segments. It's families living in car with children. It's seniors who are housing insecure or homeless. It's our disabled community. And one of those segments is our veteran community, with the associated issues of PTSD and, you know, and what goes along with that. If you look at the whole continuum, it does feel like an elephant you're trying to swallow. But when you break that down into the populations and you say, okay, what's the need, and how can we solve the problems or respond to the needs here, it's real doable. Segment by segment. And right now, I'm really optimistic that for our homeless population, or for our veteran population who are homeless in Longmont, we can solve that problem. We don't need the VA. We don't need, they could help. We don't be
we need them
dependent
to help.
On the VA. We're not dependent on HUD. We can solve this problem right here for a population that deserves the best we can bring them.
And it is going to take, so to that point, Tim, it's going to take creativity, right? So you've got hardworking folks that we're going to go out every day and we're going to work really hard to just solve problems. And again, it's kind of that military mindset. I can't, you know, if I'm going to take a country at some point, right, I can't just do that thing. I got to go step by step. What are the battle plans and all that? We also know that no plan ever survives first contact with the enemy. So we're constantly adjusting what we're doing, right? I want to kind of redirect this back towards Kevin, because creativity is, so in Kansas City, we bought 5 acres of land. We built these houses. It was great. The city helped us with infrastructure. I mean, I'm underplaying that, but it was amazing. And so here we are today. Then we come to Longmont, and Kevin and I joke all the time. He said, basically, hold my beer, and I'm just going to one up what's going on there. Right. And so it's that creativity that allows us to be able to impact veterans' lives every day. My hope is also that there's an impact on the greater homeless population as a whole. Even though this segment is what we focus on, I think there is that not in my backyard thing that Kevin mentioned earlier. And now we're purposely putting people that are homeless in your backyard. And people right now seem to not have any issues with that. And I don't think they're going forward. We've raised property values in Kansas City in the area that we put our houses in. Not only the property we're on, but the surrounding area. We're going to be in a high-end subdivision here, and we're going to keep values high and engage the community. I think Kevin talked about it today at our groundbreaking ceremony about different ways to engage people who are buying a lot in the, you know, in the neighborhood, and how they can help us help veterans. And so I think that sort of starts to go at that whole NIMBY, not in my backyard thing.
Well, I want to turn back to Kevin and the creativity that's associated with this project. And while I get Paul's concerns about not articulating too much of a vision, because times are so uncertain and there's so much in flux or in change right now, but there is a design, right, that is the reflection of a vision, or the manifestation of a vision. And when we talk about a village, I think people ought to have a sense, Kevin, this isn't just a collection of tiny homes. There's a plan. And there's a commitment to creating an environment and aesthetics that most people, they're going to have to show up to see how it really plays out. But talk a little bit about what those commitments are to create a place for people that honors their service and their dignity and is a place for people to be proud of where they live.
Yeah, no, thank you. No, that goes back to our issue, which we were discussing before, which is taking what is a transitional homeless facility, and frankly, because of their management of VCP, turning it into something that's more of a, as I say, it's an amenity and it's a chance. As I say, I would live next door to 8900 Truth, which is their address in Kansas City. And I really do, as we talk to our builders and they get to know VCP and they're the ones that are actually selling the houses, they're very excited about the concept because you get young families move in. What better lesson for your kids than to be able to understand that we have to give back and help? And I think so many people, you know, Tim, the city's moved towards trying to come up with smaller units, higher densities, yeah, and lower prices, which we're trying to do. We're trying to bring in condos at $300,000 and
keep on that.
Yeah, no. So it's workforce housing that we take very serious. But for people like me, you know, empty nesters at this point, what better opportunity to have something to do than be able to walk down the block and help people who did something that I didn't have to do. I didn't have to give that oath. So I actually owe more than, you know, I'm always blessed that Mark, I get to work with people like Mark who are giving back after they're, while they're still giving. But I didn't have to go give the oath to serve my country, and I owe them a lot. So what better opportunity for me as I say, an empty nester than to be able to help, be able to make it part of a neighborhood where I can walk down and help help somebody who had to go through that.
So. Kevin, if people want to, I know you have visuals of right. The design. If people wanted to, if there was some place that people wanted to go take a look at, what's this gonna look like when it's built out? Where would they go to see the visuals?
I'm gonna have to give you that.
I can tell you where to go. It's veteranscommunityproject.org. And you can actually click, there's a Longmont tab, and you can click right there, and the donate button is right there as well. So you can
very
do
good.
All of those things.
Listeners, there you go. It's probably worth right in that moment as well, reminding those who view this, that Longmont is the first, but how many communities across the country have expressed interest in potential expansion beyond Kansas City?
So we've actually had 3,000 plus cities reach out to us. We've had over 700 that are serious about it. Longmont is our first, and I'm gonna venture to guess you're gonna see some announcements from VCP. Really, it's gonna be probably about every 3 or 4 months we're gonna be announcing actual groundbreaking in new cities. So we're on a huge trajectory. Our goal is 8 different cities by 2022. And right now there's resources and dollars, again, not trying to be silly, but resources and dollars are what holding us up from building these villages all over the country. So somebody wants to write a check for $100 million, we'll make this happen tomorrow, but we're gonna keep working on that, right? But yeah, it is, it's happening. And again, I think people with a vision, Tim, you and the city council and people like Kevin just look at this and they go, we can do that. And it's different. It's not, oh, I don't want that over here. I want that on the other side of town. It's like, man, I want that right here, right where I'm at. And how do I do that? And how do I contribute to that? And again, I think that's a winning combination. The tiny houses are that shiny penny, and that's great. We're going to continue to make sure that we can, you know, hire case managers and solve problems for people.
All right, fellas, I've kept you at this long enough. I'm gonna give you a chance to make any last comments, but he'll be mine. So the Longmonters who view this, just to kind of digest this, of the 3,000 communities that expressed interest in 700 serious, Longmont is the first. So Longmonters, we need to set the standard, right? We need to be first, best, and always setting the standard, right? So when people look around and see where can this work in ways to which we aspire, we ought to be the place that they turn to. So that's the challenge. What's the last comments that you fellas would like to make?
You don't mind me going first because I want Mark to go last, but Tim, I think I do get a little bit of a challenge when we say other cities, and Mark references 8 other cities. And I've always told Mark that what my goal, we've taken the design, we don't mess with their floor plan for their tiny homes, but we want to put nice front porches. We're giving them the most amazing views of the Front Range. And our goal is that when Mark gets a call from a large donor or a corporation that wants to see a facility, they come to Longmont, Colorado. They don't go to Kansas City, nothing against Kansas City, but it's a challenge to make us, and making it attractive. Part of it is the aesthetics, but more of it is just that energy of volunteers and having people out there that are working every day to make the to help the veterans, and so I really look forward to it. Thank you,
Paul. Any last comments? Welcome back. We lost you there for a minute. Any last comments you want to make?
I think you're on mute.
You're on mute, Paul.
This is COVID stuff right here.
It's COVID stuff. Right? You mentioned adjusting and adapting. Yeah, well, that's what we're doing right now.
Yep.
So, Paul, we lost your visual and you're still muted.
All right, Cal, can you hear me now?
Last comments.
All right. We're incredibly appreciative of the chance to do this here. And as been said earlier, just the community has been really welcoming. Very supportive, and I feel like we're all rowing in the same boat together in the same direction. So that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, especially for the Navy guy over here. He likes that.
Yeah, good Navy reference. Good job.
You get the last word, Navy guy.
I want to just reiterate that we when we started this 5 years ago, I could never have imagined that I'd be on a video call one like this, but really with people like you, with a city council person from the city of Longmont, the city manager was giving a speech today about working with us, developers like in business with, and I know it's a nonprofit, it's still a business, with talent like Paul, the team we have here in Colorado, the team we have in Kansas City. Quick note to our groundbreaking ceremony. I think it was all but three of the staff people from Kansas City carpooled, whatever they could, drove trailers, and they brought all of that stuff out here and themselves to make sure that, one, they were here for this historic event, and two, that they helped us set up and tear down and did all that. Three people remained behind to make sure we were still taking care of vets. I mean, this is who these people are. It's an amazing group of people. I am super excited. Even though I'm going to be gone for a year, Paul's mission now, I've tasked him with it as a co-founder, that means anything, is he will be done with his village by the time I get back, or else. But in the meantime, it's just, I am just humbled and honored to have, been one of the guys that started this and came up with the idea, but it's really about the amazing people we're meeting in places like Longmont and Boulder County and the Denver area, the attention we're getting from national media, and the governor came today, things like that are really going to help us, solve this problem. It's unacceptable. It's just not insurmountable. And I think we need to remember that. It's just one step at a time. Let's just move forward. Help us do what we need to do for our veterans and those 100 folks that are sleeping on the streets around here. That's gone quickly. Whether we have houses or not, we're going to make that go away. And then we're going to build houses. We're going to make other towns. We're going to be able to help them as well. And so this is just a thing that builds on itself. And it just starts in a town. And it's as easy as people in Longmont just saying, hey, I just want to do something. How can I help? VeteransCommunityProject.org.
Well, Longmonters and whoever else watches this, that's the backstory on this chapter of the veteran of the VCP village in Longmont. This isn't the end of the story. This is just the end of this chapter. Mark, Godspeed to you, and good luck in the next year. We'll look forward to your return. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.